I'm going to dive right into God's word this morning and just maybe take you into 1 Peter. So if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter or go to your apps, or there's a Bible in front of you, and I think Zach has it up on the screen behind us. We're just going to go into 1 Peter and read chapter 1 of 1 Peter. So bear with me as I move my glasses because I'm getting old and I have to do that now. It's kind of bad. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we just pray that you would open it to us, that you would open our hearts to hear through your Holy Spirit what you would want us to hear, that you would help us to learn and grow in our faith, that you would help us to apply what we're going to hear this morning. Father, I pray for wisdom to speak your words and not mine. I pray that you would just guide us all in a way that is pleasing to you and help us to build one another up into Christ as we look and apply your word in our lives. Thank you for this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'm going to try to walk through this and break it into a few sections. So I'm just going to jump back into 1 Peter, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to encourage you with that. I've looked at this verse now, this chapter, for several, I think it goes back a little more than a year, and I've thought, even last May when I was speaking here, I think I might have mentioned that I had thought in my heart that God would put the opportunity to share with you 1 Peter, and that wasn't the case then. But today, I felt like it was a chance to really encourage you from this passage. The first thing that really jumps out at me is that we are born again into a living hope. Our hope is alive. It's active. It is not dead. It is not some book somewhere on a shelf. It is something that is found in Christ, who is our Savior. He's been raised from the dead. He is seated in the heavenly realms. He is the preeminent example of God's power for salvation for all of us who believe. And if that is not an encouraging thought for you this morning, I would encourage you to just continue to read through this and seek out what that means and the power that that comes. It is a hope that equips and sustains us in our walk. It's a hope that allows us on our journey on this earth to know that we will be with God in eternity. And it is a hope that those who were with Jesus write about and experience in their efforts to share the gospel with the world at the time of Jesus's after Jesus's death and his resurrection. The second thing to note is that it's the inheritance that we were born again into and receive along with this hope. It's an imperishable, an undefiled, and an unfading inheritance. Now, I'm not sure how many people here have received an inheritance before. My mom passed away when I was 15, and I received a small inheritance. A lot of money, but it was some money. And it allowed Alan and I to sort of start our life off, but I squandered some of it. I paid off debt that I had built up with other parts of it, and some of it was used for our wedding and sort of just to set us on the right path, but it faded pretty quick, and it was gone. And I think about all those people who look at inheritances or who look at the physical inheritance that comes. That's not what this is. The inheritance we have in Christ is imperishable. It will never perish, ever. It is undefiled. It is pure. It is perfect, just like Christ was. And it is unfading. There is no shadow with this. It doesn't fade over time. It doesn't diminish over time. It stays as rich and as vibrant and as powerful and as just amazing as it is the day that we first believe in Christ. And so I just want to encourage you, not only is it all of those things, but it's being kept safe for us in heaven. Okay, we have an inheritance that God is guarding for the revelation of Jesus Christ. And at that moment in time, we will come into his kingdom. We will inherit or be inherited into God's family as children of God, and we will be with him in eternity. And that, again, is just something that's been really encouraging to me as I've gone through this word. And so I would just encourage you that as you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and for those that have not yet accepted Christ as your Savior, as we talk through this morning, just think about what that means. Just think about what the opportunity to be in heaven for eternity with God, to have that hope focused on him, to have the inheritance that he talks about in our lives, and what that means to us. And I'll go to Ephesians verse 1 just to talk a little bit more about that inheritance. If you flip back a few pages, in him we have obtained an inheritance. This is verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Not only did God tell us that we have an inheritance, God sent the Holy Spirit to guarantee for us, to show us, to demonstrate to us what that inheritance is like. And he has given us that, and Paul prays for, in various parts and other parts of this, he prays that God would give believers the spirit of wisdom, that we might have the eyes of our heart enlightened, that we may know the hope to which he has called us, that living hope I just spoke about, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Okay, and again, I talk about that small inheritance on earth. The riches of God's inheritance, I don't think any of us can really fathom. And so I encourage you with that. I encourage you to dig into that and strive to try to understand what that looks like. And we need to make sure we don't take for granted the gift that this is, the gift of this inheritance, the gift of this hope that we have in Christ, and the gift that it is in spite of our circumstances. It's interesting, as I was sitting here this morning and I was listening to Peter pray with the kids, and I was listening to Dave pray, and just the sense that as we reflect back on 2017 and all of the challenges that have come with 2017, all of the opportunities that have come with 2017, There are many, many different circumstances that we have all faced. In spite of those circumstances, we can have joy and we can look to that hope and that inheritance that Christ talks about and be encouraged by it. And if you go back into 1 Peter again, starting in verse 6, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Peter talks to us here about rejoicing and rejoicing in spite of our circumstance. He doesn't say rejoice when you feel content. He doesn't say rejoice when you're feeling happy. He talks about rejoicing in the hope that we have in Christ and the inheritance that we have in Christ. And that in spite of all of our circumstances. And it's easy for me to stand up here and say, rejoice in spite of your circumstances. I know many of you have struggled this past year with challenges with family, with death of a loved one. 3 weeks ago, we had a service here where we had people reflect on that. We had people come up and take ornaments in memory of the people they've lost. We know that there are people who are sick, who are hurting. And so I don't presume to stand up here and suggest to you that it's easy to rejoice in those circumstances. But what I do want to encourage you with is that our ability to find and to be joyful and to rejoice is not based on our circumstances we find ourselves in at any moment in time. There's an inexpressible joy that Peter talks about. And that inexpressible joy is rooted and grounded in the hope we have in Christ and that eternity that he talks about and that eternity that we have with him. And so I would encourage you in those instances to look at that and to think about it. And again, when you go back to the word, many of us, we've read lots and lots of letters from Paul and we've heard about all the things that Paul has struggled with. Here is just one section of where he talks about this. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. So here's Paul, who time and again has suffered and been persecuted for his faith in Christ. He, probably more than many of us, know what it is to suffer. And yet in spite of all of that, he is still able to rejoice. He's still able to find his hope in Christ in that. And that's just, I just want to encourage you that as we have struggles in our life, that we can look at these opportunities. We can look at God's word and be encouraged by God's word and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God and the suffering that comes there. In early November, Pastor Justin spoke about this, and if you had a chance to go back to November 12th, he spoke about Hosea and he talked through Romans 5, and he talks about rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God and the suffering that it produces character and hope. And so, again, just one of the things we've tried to encourage you as leaders in the church, I know Pastor Tom has encouraged you, is there are so many areas of the word that when you get into the word, they give you the chance to grow. They give you the opportunity to see how Christ can work in and through your lives and various things that are there. And so I encourage you with these words, I hope, to just be able to go back and look through these opportunities. And even if you are struggling with something, we as a community of believers, and Dave spoke about this earlier in his prayer, we need to be able to come alongside one another, right? We need to be able to come alongside one another, encourage one another, bring the word to those who are struggling, bring the word to those who are hurting, even those who are hurting and yet find that hope in Christ, to be able to share that with others and be able to express that joy that comes from that hope that they have. And people will wonder, how can you go through something that is challenging you and yet maintain that sense of joy and that spirit? And I think it's only in and through the hope that we have in Christ, it's only in and through his power that we can do that. And so I just encourage you to do that. With that, though, and with these words, Peter goes a little further, and he says, Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this verse reminds us and instructs us that there's some deliberate action on our part. The Holy Spirit will bring that sense of joy. That Holy Spirit will bring that sense of the hope that we have. But we need to, being sober-minded, and I would think of this as kind of like that being of sound body and mind, right? That we think about and we're very aware of what's going on, and we make a deliberate decision to act on, a deliberate decision to seek after that hope that we have in Christ. And it's that sense of setting our hope fully on the grace of Christ and recognizing that unequal future that is available to us, the grace that abounds in ways that we don't deserve. It's not being conformed to what we used to do as children. It's not being conformed to what we used to do before we knew Christ. It's about being able to strive for something better than that. And it's about being called to being holy, striving to set ourselves apart, striving to be in the Word, to be in prayer, to encourage one another, to walk alongside one another. And so when we think about what all of that means and how do we do that, and Timothy talks in 1 Timothy about training ourselves to be godly. And he says, having nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. And so there is this sense that God's Holy Spirit will lead us into this sense of joy, but there is an action on our behalf where we have to be striving towards that, and we have to be looking for it. So what does that mean? What can we do with that? First, if you don't know Christ, if you haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ, if you have not placed your hope and trust in Christ, that's the first step. You need to recognize what Christ has called you to. You need to recognize what he has done for you, and accept that opportunity to come into his kingdom and to have the Holy Spirit come and reside with you, to encourage you. He's standing and knocking at the door. And for those of you who are seeking him, for those of you that have not accepted him yet, listen for that knocking. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody who is a friend of yours. Talk to one of the pastors. Talk to one of the elders. Talk to myself. I just strongly encourage you that as you enter into 2018 this year, if you are seeking after Christ, open your heart to be found by him. Accept him into your life, and you will then have that opportunity to just receive the inheritance. Receive that eternal inheritance that we talked about a few minutes ago. If you know Christ, the question I would ask is, are you striving after him? Are you living in a way that is joy-filled, living in a way that strives after that hope? I can tell you that I don't every day. I'll be the last to admit that I walk every day in a way that is inexpressibly joyful. I need to be reminded of this hope. I need to be reminded of the inheritance that we have. And just be reminded to be in the Word, be reminded to be in prayer. I would be a liar if I stood up here and said that, even as a leader of the church, that I was always in God's Word, or that I was always in prayer, and that I was, you know, I want to be able to stand up here and tell you that I'm, you know, faithful in that respect, but I too struggle with just the time to do that. And that's not something we need to be afraid of. That's not something we need to worry about, and that's not something that can steal our joy. It's not something that can steal the hope that we have, because our hope is not founded on what I do. It's founded on who Christ is and what he's done for us. So I just want to encourage you there as well that, you know, think about the reasons we have to hope and to rejoice in spite of our circumstances. Strive after being in God's Word. Strive after being in prayer. And it is, and a year and a half ago I spoke about this, it is about striving. And in that striving for what God has called us to, I would hope that these passages would encourage you that there is so much we have available to us in that inheritance and in Christ. The other thing I would say is don't do it alone. Join a small group. Be involved with different ministry. I was talking with Tom Kardikas this morning about men's ministry. The men's ministry are looking to do small tables in the gym, where they're doing a study in Ephesians starting in the new year. If you haven't been out to that, strongly encourage men, strongly encourage you to get out to that, to come on Saturday mornings for, you know, once a month and show up with other men and be encouraged and be accountable to them, to build relationships, but to study God's word together and to look at that. For ladies morning out has had some great things happen this last year. So strongly encourage the ladies in the church, in this body, to go to ladies morning out, to connect with other women, to be encouraged by that. For couples, to connect with other couples. For people to find accountability partners. For those of you that have the time, mentor young men and women. It's so rewarding to come alongside young men and women and encourage them in their walk. For those young men and women here who want a mentor, strive after one. Go and ask somebody, hey, can you have some coffee with me once in a while? And just be encouraged by that and walk alongside people. Don't try to walk through this life alone. And this is absolutely essential to your walk, to be in the Word. But again, having those relationships, having the chance to stand alongside of somebody opens up the Word to you in a way that you as an individual cannot do. Because the Holy Spirit may share insights to those other people in a way that can equip you in those moments of tough circumstances, or you can also be an encouragement to them in those circumstances. And so I just encourage you to connect together. And as you go into 2018, and I feel like I'm beating the whole encouragement thing to death, but think about what that hope in Christ means. Think about what that inheritance that is unfading, that is imperishable, means for you into 2018. And be encouraged by that. And in spite of what may come, as a community of believers, as a body of Christ, who are called to build one another up into Christ, let's continue to come alongside each other. Let's continue to come alongside each other when we're sick, when we're hurting, when we've lost family members, when we're rejoicing over engagements or weddings or any of those things. More and more, we as an elders board, we as a leadership team, our desire is for us as a community to know Christ, to know the hope that's in Christ, to draw together as a community as we've been doing. And we see so much of that, and we're so excited about it. And so, yes, reflect back on 2017, look forward to 2018, look forward to what the hope of Christ will do for you in that year, and thank you for bearing with me as we brought a message at the last minute while Pastor Tom was sick. It's unfortunate he couldn't be here, but thank you for listening, and I just pray that 2018 will be a great year for you. Let's close in prayer as the worship team comes back up to connect with us. Heavenly Father, thanks again for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Father, you have sent the Holy Spirit to us. You've sent the Holy Spirit to equip all of us and to lead us into the truths of your word. Father, you have sent the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the hope that we have in you and to understand that inheritance that we have in eternity with you. Father, thank you for guarding our salvation, for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Thank you for keeping that inheritance safe in heaven. And Father, we just pray that as we enter into 2018, that you would build us up as a community into you, that you would build us up as a community that loves and cares for one another, that finds hope in you, that rejoices in that hope, and that walks alongside one another in whatever circumstances come our way, both the good and the bad. Father, may you be glorified by us as a church. May you be glorified by each of us individually. And we pray that all that we do would be pleasing to you and that we would walk in a manner worthy of the upward call we have in Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' powerful and precious name.